Good morning.
Good morning.
What an important day today is. It's our Lord who have arisen. We are here to glorify His name. Afterwards, you will hear a story about Him, not about me. We are just instrument to come here to glorify His name. As usual, the way we share, woman always first. So, woman first.
Thank you, Lopo. Good morning, brothers and sisters, Pastor. Thank you for the introduction. It is also my first time, and my husband came to this, come to this church this morning. And the pastor said that, both of us are fully still working full-time in the marketplace. But of course, I'm a banker and engineer by profession. And my son is in Singapore, 22 years old. And today you're about to hear this beautiful story God has written in our lives, through our lives. And before I can even go into that, because it's 20 years walking this journey, battling cancer with my husband, stage 4 cancer 20 years ago. That's why we migrated to Australia. It is through the power of prayers that even both of us did not know God. We were both very staunch Buddhists, practicing all the detestable things that, you know, in the Deuteronomy say, we consult mediums. And my mom came from a family with, you know, if you visit my mom's house is like a temple. We have all kinds of idols and worship. When I was young, I never go and see doctor when I was sick. I'm always going to temple and burning talisman, drinking the charcoal paper. So truly, truly, the first part of the testimony about, in short term, I will always say how the Lord brought us out from the darkness into His marvelous light. And the beginning of the first 15 minutes, I'll be sharing my darkness journey for the first 10 years not knowing God and how God interceded, even though we did not know Him, and pull us out from this darkness, and we found God through my husband's journey encountering with God. Of course, it is the power of prayers, and through the power of prayers that God resurrected my husband from dead to alive. Of course, before I start this morning, I just want to say a quick prayers. It is because of the prayers that we have life, and because today is God has risen, that death has no longer sting in us in such reality life, because I personally saw my husband pronounced dead by 4 doctors in Pantai KL. And it is through Christ that died on the cross on Friday, and the 3rd day He risen. And this is for this reason we are here, to speak for Him, to glorify His name. Let us pray. Dear Father, today is Your risen day. I thank You, Lord God, for Your blood of Jesus that You died on the cross on Friday. Because of Your blood that bled in Calvary, that we have life today. And thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and grace. It is through the power of prayers, Lord, that we came to know You. It is through the power of prayers, Lord, that You have resurrected my husband from dead to alive. And today, Lord, I pray for Your anointing that will flow through this whole sanctuary, at Your house, at Your sanctuary, that You will surround this whole sanctuary by Your blood of Jesus, that You will sanctify this place, that You will open all the hearts of the people here today, that they come to receive Your words, Your anointing, whatever journey they go through, Lord God, You know, and You have chosen them to come here this morning to hear Your story through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As just now I said, I walked through a journey of battling cancer 20 years with my husband. He has 5 relapses. 20 years ago, he was diagnosed cancer, was given 3 months to live. He was stage 4. Starting from nose, spread to lymph nodes, and 8 parts of the bone. And we both were not Christian. I was brought up with a very staunch Taoist family, my mother. And she only believed mediums, consulting medium, master. So she was following this master for 30 years. Obviously, when my husband first diagnosed cancer, the first thing my mom is to get the date of birth and time of birth from my husband and gave it to the master. The first thing he said, because of the element of the forces, the water, earth, I don't know how they calculate, and they said he is not allowed to do radiotherapy treatment. Because when you first diagnose as cancer on the nose, the first thing is they want to do radiotherapy. And because of what the fear the master has told my mother, that if I send him to hospital to have the treatment, to receive the radiotherapy, and he will not make it, he will die at the hospital because of his date of birth and time of birth clashes with the fire, with the radiotherapy. And of course, that was 20 years ago. I did not know God. I was very blinded, superstitious, like my mom. We were brought up in a cultural, my great-grandmother, my great-grand-aunt was a medium. So every year we get our life consulted, what to do, the things to do, the things not to do. So for so many years that you walk a journey like that. So whatever my mom told me, I trust my mom, not because of the master. I follow exactly what my mother told me. I took the talisman. The master gave a stack of talisman for my husband to drink. Every night I burned 10 talisman and put in the water and serve my husband. Of course, that time my husband asked me, why am I drinking charcoal paper? And I told him, don't ask, just drink. It will heal you. Of course, I have a very obedient husband. Very tangwa one, you know. So he just drank without asking. For 3 months, he continued drinking the charcoal paper. Of course, the cancer from the nose spread to lymph nodes, and his neck grew bigger and bigger. And he started bleeding a little bit on the nose. Then I told my mom, I said, I don't think the talisman work. And my mother was worried, and I showed my mother the neck. So my mother called the master again. So the master said, this time I think Tony need a higher thing. So he sent a bottle of rice wine soaked with scorpion. And he asked me to 1 teaspoon every night for my husband. Of course, this time, I know my husband is going to ask me, why am I drinking scorpion wine, right? So what I did is I wrapped the bottle up, and I just take, you know, this is rice wine to Yidu Gong Tu for his cancer. 3 months passed the road. And of course, the rice wine, the scorpion wine didn't work. And the cancer spread to the bone. He started having pain every night, cannot sleep. And so many parts of bone were so in pain that he couldn't sleep. Every morning he woke up, the pillow was filled with blood. And of course, at the time, I knew it was very critical. I told my mom, I need to bring him to hospital. My mom said, no, if you bring him to hospital, he would die in the hospital. Then I was fear. I was trapped in that bondage of fear because I was believing what the master said. Because of that, my husband suffered. Then the master told my mother, you ask your daughter to kneel down to pray to Tiansen. Tiansen, ask Tiansen, put 99 joystick and ask Tiansen to send thunder and lightning. Your son-in-law need to be struck by lightning, then he will be healed. Of course, when my mother told me that, I didn't even ask my mother. I straight away, without question, you know, a civil engineer, an MBA, without asking question, when you're desperate, believe me, you will do anything to believe that it's a cure. So I straight away took 99 joystick, put in front of a garden, and I kneeled down and I pray. I didn't know God then. I just follow whatever he said, Tiansen. So I asked Tiansen, send raining, send thunder, and you know, so that I can send my husband to sit in the garden. Eventually, that day came. When the rainstorm, the thunder came, I was so happy. I pushed my husband out in the garden, sat on the metal swing we have in front of the garden for 15 minutes. The thunder came, the roaring of the thunder, the lightning, and she was shivering on the metal swing. And after 15 minutes, he still did not get striped. So then he said, "Lo Po, can I come in? Because it's very cold here." So of course I said, okay, come in, you know. So he was like having pneumonia, you know. So, and then because he was very weak. And that showed how desperate I was. And when you were superstition and blinded, not knowing God, not knowing word of God, that was where I was in the total darkness of life. I couldn't see any light at all. And we were still there for a long time, 10 years, okay? And God has His plan, trust me. Because now that I look back, I have this beautiful story to share with you all. But not then, you know. Then was really suffering. But through the suffering, God really brought light into our life. But sometimes we all are, right, human beings. We have our own stubbornness. I was very independent, very aggressive in my own way. Everything, I'm in control. So I didn't know. I just do whatever I can. Of course, at that time, when the rain and the thunder didn't strike, I told my mom, I have to bring my husband to Singapore to have a treatment. My mother said, "No, now it's raining season. Why don't you bring Tony up to my rooftop, third story? Sit on my rooftop, he'll surely get striped. Just wait another few days." I say, "Okay, rainy season." So that day came. And when the thunder strike, I quickly get Tony into the car and drove him to my mother's house. The first thing, my mother is carry umbrella. We all rush up to the rooftop. And this time, of course, my husband is smarter. He brought 6 towels with him. And he sat on the rooftop. For about 5-10 minutes, it was really, really cold and windy and thunder's coming. And after 5 minutes, he didn't get striped. So we were worried that he was going to say he wanted to come down. So I saw the TV antenna on my mother's rooftop. Guess what this clever wife did, right? Engineer. So I asked my husband, "Lokong, can you put your hand on the TV antenna so that it's faster, you know, the lightning strike, right?" Because to me is when you play golf on the ground level, you get struck by the iron. It has to be done in the TV antenna. Surely, it'll be easier. And guess what, my dear husband, right? Very, very obedient, such a wonderful. He would just put his hand, just waited. Both of us are so blinded and superstitious at about blinded by all the belief. So he actually holds to the TV antenna. And the thunder and the lightning strike came so many times, but he did not get struck. Of course, at that time, my mom and myself was very, very disappointed. We say, "Oh no, he didn't get struck. He cannot cured." Of course, after that, he came down. Then we went to Singapore to have treatment. The first thing they did is they took an MRI. They look at the scan. From the nose spread to all the lymph nodes is already cancer. And in the blood, and then also 8 parts of the bone. And that time, our son was 9 months old. And this oncology gave my husband 3 months to live. So we both, that time my husband wish was saying that, "I just want to see my son walking." Because that time, he was crawling in the clinic. And today, my macho son is 22 years old. Look at that. Yeah, that one is my son. And really, it's God's grace and God's mercy. We did not do anything to earn His grace to for Him to even resurrect my husband. And this is a story of how merciful this God is. In all the wrong thing we have done, the most detestable things we have done, He is still there waiting for us to return home to Him and say, "Yes, Lord." To that point, when my husband was pronounced dead at the hospital, the 4th relapse, you know, it's a lot of episode for my husband's journey. But because today we have 1 hour, I try to fast forward the first 3 medical walk, because once he was given 3 months, we were just living by the day. And we, of course, from Taoist, went to Buddhism the big way. We go to India, we go to Thailand. Whoever told me which monk is powerful, we would take a flight to go. So we went to Thailand, we went to India, we sat down the Bodhi tree, exactly the one that Buddha was enlightened. We were so particular. We were vegetarian for 10 years. We chant mantra. Even at that, the Lord is watching us. the journey, the 10 years darkness we're in. And the Lord also knows what it takes for us to be convicted, because we need to see God's hand directly in my husband's life. Both of us are very stubborn, very independent, very everything in our hand, you know, as a businessman, as a woman in the banking industry, we're always in control of all things. Never thought of God is in control of all things until I know the Lord Jesus. So it was that moment that the relapse came, once, twice, three times. But the Lord preserving him all these years, but not completely healed. Until the fourth relapse, the tumor grew to the brain, as big as an orange, the tumor. He started having seizure, keep collapsing everywhere he goes. And this time he said, I am not going to see doctor because they are going to open my brain and I will be dead or paralyzed. And my husband think that he cannot make it. Of course, through our journey, I was going through, we migrated to Australia after the given 3 months. So we took my son and ourselves, we migrated to Australia. That's why we are all over the place now. We are Australia, we're Singapore, we're Malaysia. But little did we know the Lord has planted this because so that we can bring his story through all this country where we lived and where we work. Of course, that time we didn't know. And in Australia, but with the three relapse, I was so exhausted. I told my husband, let's come back to KL, have a pampering life. But little did we know the Lord has prepared that journey for everything to happen to be in KL, Malaysia. We came back in 2007, December. My husband has his tumor relapse in October 2008, which is about 11 years ago. At that time, when everything happened so fast, he didn't want to see a doctor. When everything happened, he was in emergency in Pantai Hospital. Then the doctor tell me one thing. Mrs. Low, if you don't sign this consent form to have him operated, he will not make it through the night. At that time, I really found Christ. My encounter with Christ is another miracle, which I didn't want to divert there. All I can say is the Lord prepared me for this 2008 to face my husband's death at the hospital. Because in Corinthians 7:14 say, an unbelieving husband has been sanctified by a believing wife. And that's why when I came to know the Lord 3 years before 2008, which is 2005 in Australia, when we came back, I was a very, very new Christian, new believer. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how God really works. All I know is I just reading the Bible and capturing the Word of God and sustaining me to walk through this journey. When that day happened, when my husband having seizure and collapse in the hospital, I have to sign the form to have an operation. The doctor told me 16 hours operation and is very critical. He may make it, he may not make it. So I asked my pastor from St. Andrew Church, that I attend St. Andrew Church in KL, to come to the hospital in the ward to pray for him before he's pushed into the operating theatre. So when the pastor arrived at the door, after he shaved his head and everybody get ready, the operating clothing, as the pastor walked in, he saw the pastor. He told the pastor, I don't need you to pray for me. Why don't you go to other wards to pray for other patients? I don't know who is your God. Unless your God give me direct line, I will believe him. That's what he told the pastor. Of course, God hear every word we say. Not even hear every word we say. Whatever we think in our heart, before we even speak on our lips, the Lord already see our heart. Of course, guess what? My husband truly have the encounter with God, got his direct line. Afterward, you will hear his direct line. So what happened is when he trolley in the operating theater, operation 16 hours and complication sets in, he came out from of the operating theater, he pushed in again because the pressure is still growing and he has fits and seizure after operation. So he had to push back in and then another 6 hours to remove the skull, and they have to operate the stomach here to stitch the skull bone into the stomach to keep it sterile. So by the second time he come out, his body is too weak, and he went into coma. And then during that coma, because of when the multiple organs failure, his lung failed, he was on a life support machine. And when he was on the life support machine, then another urea acid shot up. And then I was keep writing consent form to keep sending machine into the ICU room. Until it hit multiple organs failure, the doctor brought my husband's father, the family, myself, into a room to give us the bad news, saying that it's a matter of time. His lung is not breathing. It's only the life support machine's breathing. The minute you switch off the machine, he gave me a consent form, and you can take the body within an hour. Of course, at that time, my father-in-law gave me the blessing. He said, I don't want to see my son breathing on the life support machine for the rest of his life. To my father-in-law, we already have 10 years bonus, remember? That was 20 years ago when he first diagnosed. It was stage 4, given 3 months. That time was 1998. And when the brain tumor operation, it was 2008. We actually have a bonus of 10 years. So when I was given that blessing from my father-in-law, then I remember what the Bible say, even though I was a very new believer. And I remember in the Bible told me that only Jesus, God, has the authority to give life or take life. I, even as a wife, as a legal wife, I said, Lord, how can I decide my husband's life and death on my stroke of pen? And I kneeled down and I cried and cried and cried. And I remember Jeremiah 29:13 said, when you seek me with all your hearts, I will find you. That's what the Lord promises. And yes, he did deliver, he promised. Because I was kneeling down and crying my heart out to God. And God, that night, found me through one scripture he gave me. It was John 11:11. That word said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I am going to wake him up, said Jesus to Martha. That one verse in the Bible gave me so much peace, because even my faith was so small, like a mustard seed. But the Lord say, I just need your faith to believe. If it was not of my faith, I don't think I will be able to see the miracle. I don't think we can all today to hear the miracle of his great story. And this is something that, as a believer, sometimes we want to see miracle than to believe. But with walking with God, you have to believe, then the Lord will deliver the miracle in your life. It was that John 11:11 stopped me from signing the consent form, because I chose to believe. I waited. The next day, my father-in-law knew, knowing that my husband was a staunch Buddhist, my father-in-law brought monks and get ready with all the coffins and everything, the funeral arranged. And I told my father-in-law, I have not signed, so you cannot take the body. Then my father-in-law asked me, why? And I showed him the scripture. Of course, my father thought I was having a nervous breakdown. He thought that I needed more days. So he walked away and told my mother-in-law, saying that I think my daughter-in-law need more time. And at that instance, a pastor from another church, which I don't know, came looking for Mrs. Low in the ICU waiting lounge. He gave me a CD called Breath of God. He told me that, Mrs. Low, I know you don't know me. This morning, I have a prayer chain request to pray for Tony. And as I was praying for Tony, the Lord spoke to me to bring this disc to you. And I said, what is this disc for? He said, this disc has woken somebody up from coma in Asunta. At that time, I was very desperate. So I straight away take a CD player and play next to his bed. Even though he was in coma, he cannot hear me. Every day I recite psalms over him, he has no response. When I ran into his ICU room and put the CD, the minute I start playing the Breath of God, which is a collection of psalms, Word of God, I felt the presence of God so much that I started weeping and wailing as if the nurse thought that my husband had died because I was willing and willing and willing because I was feeling the presence of God. And next moment, within 2 minutes, next moment, I saw my husband's tears flowing down from his eyes. And at that instant, I knew God's healing touch is upon him because the Lord knows my heart wanted to see in real life, because every day you're seeing like a corpse on the body, nothing move. You keep talking to him. But after I saw his tears, and I have faith in knowing that God spoke to me through John 11:11, that he is going to wake him up. I waited the fifth day. And then, of course, the fifth day, afternoon, another organ's about to fail. Then I was very disappointed. But the pastor brought me the disc, gave me a verse, and mentioned something very important. The pastor gave me the disc, also mentioned that the three things belong to my husband. I must find it and destroy it. And because he doesn't know our background at all, he just say, the yellow paper with red writing, which is our talisman, that didn't work, and I burned 10 pages every night. So a lot of leftover. And the powdery thing, which is the ashes we collected from monks everywhere we go. And then that's a triangular thing, which is one of the idols we collected from Thailand. So when we migrated to Australia, all the praying thing I put in the boxes, I left it with my mom to take care. Of course, when I became a Christian, I totally forgot about that. I didn't know it is very important that when you become a Christian, whatever you have in the past, you must burn it. But I didn't know until my husband's ICU time when this pastor told me. So when he told me that time, I said, oh, I have to watch my husband. When my husband wake up, then I go and burn it. But of course, on the fifth day, when another organs fail, and I was very frightened. I said, how can, Lord, you say that you're going to wake my husband up? How come another organs fail? So with human sight, seeing things, and the spiritual sight, God is doing something in the spiritual realm we cannot see. We see with human sight, we say, oh, another organs fail. That means it's not going to the right direction. But God is doing something in the spiritual realm because the battle belongs to God. And I never understand that. But of course, now that when I read the scripture, I can relate to my own journey, how God is always constantly working in the back, in the invisible space, in the spiritual realm to protect us, to intercede for us. That's why prayers is very important. Of course, at that time, I was very down. But somehow, that message came and tell me that I must go to my mother's house to destroy the idols. But my mother is a worshipper, idols worshipper. How can I even go to my mom to bring the thing? And the pastor said, I cannot bring the thing outside my mom's house. Must burn inside my mom's house. Can you imagine that? I probably will be disowned by my mother. So on that fifth day, when another organ about to fail, I kneeled down again and I asked the Lord. I was very desperate. I say, Lord, in the Bible, you said, even 2,000 years ago, you can make the lame walk, you can make the blind see. Can you not just breathe into my husband's lung and let him breathe on his own? I don't want to see the life support machine. I just need you to breathe into him. And that night, the Lord revealed me another scripture, Ezekiel 37:12. When I read that scripture, I kneeled down and cried. I said, Lord, I will wait upon you. Because that word really convicted me. Ezekiel 37:12 said, I will stretch out my hand and pull him out from the grave. I will breathe my spirit in him so that he will live. I will bring him back to the land so that people have seen it and knows that the Lord has done it, declares the Lord. And truly, truly, now I look back. It is because that scripture gave me the confidence, the faith to believe. Whatever we see in human eyes, discard it. Discard your medical report. Discard your whatever doctor tell you. Sorry, Pastor, I know both of you are doctors. But through my journey, I really, really convicted. Our great Lord Jesus God is the greatest physician, greatest doctor on heaven and earth. He decides. He will decide whether we live or my husband live or die. And it is through this journey I saw the scripture came alive, dry valley bone. How the Lord can even take the dry valley bone and make them alive. And I see it with my own husband's journey. Because of that scripture, I hang on to that little faith, even though in human eyes it didn't go that way. On Saturday, the doctor say, there's no hope. There's no hope. When doctors say there's no hope, no hope, the Holy Spirit talked to me, say, go to your mother's house now. I drop everything. I'm not going to guard the ICU because to me that time I thought it's important to be at the ICU just in case you need any machine I can sign, right? But now it is a spiritual realm battle. The Lord is fighting in the spiritual realm. When the Holy Spirit knew that was the last moment when that prompted in my mind, I dropped everything that is trusting God that I have to leave the ICU. Nobody in the ICU. I just go to my mother's house with my sister-in-law, my husband's sister. Before she left the hospital, she pleaded the blood of Jesus upon the four-poster frame of the door. So I was very new Christian. The only time I remember bleeding the blood on the is the angel over the death in the Old Testament, real blood of lamb, right? So I say, like that, can man, right? I just basically plead the blood of Jesus over to protect my husband. Then they say, now we can go. So my mind was saying, like that, can I? So I was like, because when you're a very new Christian, you never encounter God's power. You really don't know the power of blood of Jesus. Now I know. I will tell you later. Then we left to my mother's house. When we arrived at my mother's house, just before I arrived, I was praying so hard, I told my sister, no, I think my mom is going to use a broomstick and broom me out if I say I need to look for the idol and burn it in the house. Because my mom prayed to all this idol 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and night. How can I burn it in the house? But the pastor said, you have no choice. These are the things blocking your husband. Our Lord Jesus is so holy. He wants to touch your husband and heal him. But all these blockages, spiritual realm that we need to destroy. So I have no choice. I just went in there. When my mother opened the door, he said, oh, why are you here? Shouldn't you be in the hospital? Then I saw the idols. My mouth just frozen. I couldn't say anything. My sister-in-law said, auntie, we came to collect Tony's praying thing because she also don't know what we have. So my mother said, yes, I know. They migrated to Australia. They put everything in a box. Then all this thing cannot put in a box. I put it in a special room. So she went in the back room. It came out with a wheelbarrow with all the idols. And on top of the idols, he put newspaper, kerosene, and a matchstick box. She already prepared it for us to burn. We didn't ask for it. To me, I was in awe of how awesome this God is. I was praying that, Lord, please don't let my mother scold me. Please don't let my mother use a broomstick, sweep me out. All this thing, right? But yet, the Lord did more than I asked for. He already prepared my mom to prepare everything for me to burn. I don't even need to ask and explain why I have to do that. The Lord has already done it. So when he pushes out to the front, I was trying to push it at the edge of the dock, where the dock house to hide, to burn there. I feel not so good to burn inside her house. So I burned just outside the garden there where the dock house is. So we disfigured everything and burned everything. And that was the 6th day. And my husband woke up the 7th day. Next day morning, my husband woke up on the 7th day. Of course, I was very happy. I called my mom, saying that, Mom, good news. Tony woke up. Then he said, oh, very good news. Good to hear that he woke up. But I don't know why this morning my dog died. So this is something still very unique in certain way. I don't know, in the spiritual realm, right? So then when my husband woke up, the first word, you remember when my husband pushed into the operating theater, he chased the pastor out, right? He asked for direct line, right? And the first word my husband uttered when he woke up, He said, "Lo Paul, I saw your Jesus. Wow, I cried. And I said, wow, Jesus, you're so awesome. Even when my husband on the deathbed chased the pastor out of the ward, he also came to rescue him and touch him and heal him. That is how a merciful God he is. And after that, my husband said, I don't know why. I saw myself soaked in this blood, a lot of blood just flowing down, washing him. Then I knew the Lord Jesus wanted me to hear, because I remember my sister-in-law plead the blood of Jesus over the ICU room, and I was having a bit of doubt. Being a new believer, it's okay to have a bit of doubt, but the Lord will convict you. So now, after the encounter, then I knew the power of the blood of Jesus. Even for my husband to tell me, I don't know why I saw so much blood washing me. Because the Lord Jesus, in sanctifying him, cleansing him, before he bring him back, so that today we can even stand here at the pulpit to testify for him, to glorify his name, to say how awesome this God is. It's truly, truly, he is awesome. So of course, when my husband woke up, he was paralyzed from neck down. And he can only move his head. But the Lord restored him in his time. And I want to invite my husband to come up and share the direct line. He asked for it. So now he's going to share that, how this marvelous God, amazing, awesome God, brought us out of our darkness into his marvelous light.